Oh, TEDx Auckland's coming up this weekend. It's such a great weekend. I've been involved in TEDx Christchurch before, and that's a real community feel. People load in to the hall, see all sorts of speakers talking about things they probably had never considered before. And one of the guest speakers this year is Irina Miller. Now, she launched an organisation called Daisy Lab early last year. She was worried about the environmental impact of our dairy industry, and so her company's focus is on something called precision fermentation. That's a process that produces dairy proteins without harming land or animals. She's one of six speakers who'll take the stage at the ASB Waterfront Theatre tomorrow, and she joins me now to talk about her work. Hi there, Irina.
Hi there. Kia ora.
Nice to talk to you today. Are you feeling nervy ahead of TEDx?
A little bit, yes.
Don't.
Quite a big audience.
It's a very friendly audience, as I recall, and everyone's there to be supportive and to learn as well. Give us a bit of your background. This sounds like a scientific innovation, but your background isn't as a scientist, right?
I'm not a scientist by education. My co-founder, who is a scientist, Dr. Nikki Freed, tells me to stop telling people I'm not a scientist, in her view, that I've kind of, at least in what we're doing, I've caught up quite a bit with the team.
Yeah.
But I have a business background, and even though I've always been interested in science, that hasn't been my trade, and I don't really am much help in the lab. I just thought that that was a very important technology to be developing in New Zealand, given how much we rely on our dairy export, and also given how much we know about processing dairy.
So what was the big idea?
Well, the big idea is producing dairy proteins without cows. And that leads to a significant reduction in greenhouse gas emissions, and you also don't need to go through all the drama of growing big animals and then keeping them pregnant every year and, getting rid of the bobby calves. So that's the big theory. It definitely is a long process, so we're nowhere near and probably won't be nowhere near in the next 10 years the volumes at which our current dairy industry operates, but it's also an opportunity to be still growing the market while potentially reducing the dairy herds.
Fantastic. And you had the idea some time ago, but you kind of found yourself surprised that no one else was doing it.
I really couldn't. The idea was so obvious to me, and this is something I talk about in my TED talk, that I couldn't believe that I would have been the first one to think about it. I thought, well, surely we have so many brilliant scientists and business people working in dairy, so surely it's going to be done. Particularly given our sort of business model that we don't really sell a lot of sort of liquid milk products. We primarily just trade relatively simple ingredients, and microbes would find it really hard to compete to liquid milk that comes out of a cow. But we believe they can compete quite easily with those processed, simplified, single ingredients that we trade a lot of.
You've lost me a little bit with that one. So can you explain that against that last bit again? Why does it matter that you're competing against milk powder?
It's not so much competing against milk powder. It's just where I saw the opportunity is really producing a product that New Zealand is already trading a lot of, which is like your milk powder or protein powder. So just to kind of be quite clear, we're not hoping to produce, or at least not at no time soon, to produce fresh milk the way it comes out of the cow.
Okay. How does your process work?
So the process is very similar to fermentation. That is really very similar to brewing beer. So fundamentally, we develop a microbe. And that microbe has an extra set of instruction similar in DNA structure to what a cow has in the cow's body that produces a particular protein. So we focused on whey proteins and caseins. And once that microbe is developed, it really is very similar to brewing beer. It happens in large fermenters, stale and still. You feed the microbe sugary water. It gobbles up the sugar. And as a byproduct, it produces the protein of interest. So say in the beer production, the microbe eats the sugar and produces alcohol. With our fermentation process, instead of alcohol, that is your target protein, which is either whey or casein.
What would you use it for then, once you had that product?
That's the beauty of it. You can use it for any dairy product or as a powder ingredient.
Wow.
So exactly the same application that you would use your dairy protein for. So that's the beauty of it. So on amino acid level, the protein is identical to what a cow would produce.
You're basically brewing milk.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And what's really cool is that once you've brewed the milk, the process of isolating, storing and drying of those proteins is very similar and requires very similar equipment that what we currently use in the dairy industry. And we have so much knowledge and such a great ecosystem here in New Zealand. So the wheat think is the best place to develop this technology.
Does it compete on taste?
Yeah, that's the idea, exactly. That is an identical taste.
Huh. I've got a report here by RethinkX. They predict that precision fermentation could be the core disruptive technology in food production over the next decade. That sounds pretty exciting. Do you agree with them?
I tend to agree with them. I think it's a pretty far reaching prediction, so I would not bet all my money on it. I obviously am betting a lot of my, you know, time, and I do think that it definitely stands a chance. It could very much become a dominant technology for producing dry ingredients. Whether it will, so it's fundamentally if it's going to start competing on price with your traditional dairy, for example, then it's likely to win because it ticks all the other boxes. It doesn't have the environmental impact. It can be taken a lot closer to market because you can do it anywhere. You don't need kind of New Zealand green rolling pastures. You can do it in the middle of a desert, in remote villages, in urban areas. So it's really, even if it doesn't come close to in price to dairy, if it becomes comparable, but say it still hasn't gotten cheaper than dairy, I think it still can cut into quite a bit of the dairy market. But if it wins in price, then we have a big problem here in New Zealand with our dairy industry.
You mean if it could get to a point where it was as cheap as traditional milk, then it would be a no-brainer?
It would be a no-brainer. Yeah. I think that most companies...
What's the cost comparison now?
Well, now it's really... So currently we are in a lab, so we are in a gram production level, so it's really hard to estimate the cost. We need to go through a scale-up process, which that's our next stage, is to scaling it, and that will allow us to formulate the, you know, cost production now. But the thing is, theoretically, the cost parity is possible because if we look at a lot of things already are produced using precision fermentation, we just don't know about them, like things like insulin, a lot of food components like vanilla essence or even rennet, which is an enzyme that our dairy industry uses a lot. So all of those are produced using precision fermentation, and the cost is quite close to what the
because they're done at scale and they're being done commercially. Yeah,
correct. And if you can scale it even further, because obviously you need a lot more protein than cheese than you do rennet, the cost could continue to drop. But it is, until it's done, it's really hard to say that it will be done because it is a different protein. So the rennet, even though the process is very similar and kind of everything points a direction that it's definitely scalable, until we do it, I can't tell you.
The way you describe it, it sounds quite simple, which suggests that there might be a few people around the world working on this. Are there?
Not too many. So I still think there's room for more. But yes, absolutely. Particularly since we started, I think there was kind of like quite a few companies came through. When we just started, there were only two companies that we knew about. So yes, but if you think about the size of the market and how geographically distributed all of those startups are, I think there's still no saturation in the startup area.
How's your IP situation looking?
Well, we've got our own proprietary technology, and this is, I guess, so everyone tends to focus on slightly different proteins, some working on fats, and biotech is very, there's so many different options in which you can solve a similar problem. So, yeah, we have our technology. Unfortunately, we can't really assess much because apart from what's already been patented, there's very little information about how other groups are achieving.
Still exciting, though. What comes next for you? What's next in your journey? Are you looking for money to scale?
Yeah, well, we are actually. We were raising money at the moment to take it to the next stage. And if we're successful, if we can close the round, which we're hoping to do very soon, that can get us to, prototype product as soon as next year. It won't be, we won't be ready to put it on the supermarket shelf. There's some certain approvals that we need to go through, and that would be at the next stage of scale up. But there's certainly going to be enough product to create limited edition taste test type ice cream and yogurt. We are very excited about it.
Awesome. Hey, thanks so much for explaining it patiently to another non-scientist. Really have enjoyed talking to you today. Can't wait to hear what's next. Well done.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Irina Miller from Daisy Lab, using precision fermentation to create dairy proteins without using animals, unless you count the microorganisms as animals, I guess.